Hello and welcome to another episode of the Copcast podcast. We're coming to you after, like, honestly, not trying to be funny, lads, but we literally can't keep up with the games right now. It's and we shouldn't complain. It's been, what, 4 games in 11 days since we last spoke, and we're top of the league. We have a cup in the bag. We're through to the next round of the FA Cup. And all sorts of madness has happened. I've got Beryl Akis with me. Beryl, you know, in a week, we do two things that we've been doing all season, which has kind of shaped our season, which is we use a multitude of players who are massively impactful, no matter what, you know, their minutes on the pitch are, or their age, or their, you know, profile, or their status within the squad, and get goals from everywhere, and also start or keep winning games right at the end when we have absolutely no right to. We have a goal to win the League Cup minutes from the end of extra time. We have 3 goals from 2 teenagers during the week, and again we get another like 90 plus minute winner on Saturday to keep us top of the league, and those two things, those two aspects, They've really shaped this crusade that we seem to be on right now. And I think that just, it says two things. It says that everyone is in this together. Every single member of that football club is in this together. Everybody knows they have a part to play. Everybody realizes they're going to get an opportunity to play a part, and everybody's willing to take that opportunity. And they will go right until the end.
Yeah, you know, obviously, I would say. And you know what they say about rights, right? So they are not given, they are taken. You have to take them. And that's what we do. So I think we do have the right to win these games because because all of the things that you said, it's we never say die, etc. You know, all the cliches. And it's, and we spoke just before the pod about, you know, it being a double-edged sword, that it's more fun to win a game at the you know, at the death of it, but at the same time it's kind of stressful, and I would enjoy some comfortable games you know, in the future. But yeah, it's incredible. We don't do things easily. The easy way, let's put it that way, and it's you know, if you would call it a roller coaster, there would be downs, and I would say there's only ups, unless you want to think about, you know, how many injuries we have and how hard everything is. But no, I would say there are only ups. It's quite a riot. It has been quite a riot. Probably will continue to be so.
Yeah, you know, you'd hope so. Let's briefly touch on the cup final first, because we haven't been there. Look, it's a crazy game. It's everything you didn't expect, but everything you did expect. It's Chelsea in the cup final. It's 0-0. It's 120 plus minutes, given the injury time at the end of 90, and you just feel like, regardless of how hard two teams have tried to score and how hard they've also tried not to score, we end up kind of ambling towards penalties again. And then, you know, I think Luton in the league as well, Van Dijk, just with all of those kids in the pitch, he is the grown-up not just in the room, not just on the pitch, but across both sides, both teams, given that they're a young side as well. And there's that leadership that is, it's always been there, but I feel like the captaincy has almost liberated him in that regard. And you know, another good example is of him grabbing,
acknowledged him, I would say.
Yeah. And another good example is of him grabbing Darwin after he scored and stopping him from walking away from the traveling end and pointing, going, listen, they're all saying your name. Acknowledge that.
Yeah. It's I agree. He always was, some sort of, he was one of the leaders of the team, and obviously lots of influence in the dressing room and on the pitch. But I think this is, sometimes they say leadership is an intangible, but this is tangible, right? He is, and he really needs to step up as a leader. And step up would maybe imply that he hasn't before, but no. What I'm trying to say is that he is asked to do things that you probably wouldn't have to expect from a captain, but like score a winner in a final, and actually score two winners. You could even argue and against Luton, the equalizer, which was, from a psychological viewpoint, I thought massively important, because I had given up all hope at then, and I don't easily give up on this team. But I thought, in the first half against Luton, we looked lost, as if, all of the injuries, all of the lack of influence, the lack of quality was catching up with us, and we had one punch too many to compensate for, and there he was, and this is probably the type of captain that you would expect from a comic book. The ones that we read in our and I'm a bit older than you, but you will know those comic books
I think the general term in the UK is Roy of the Rovers stuff, is what they say.
Exactly. Yeah, that, and this was that, right? And so, a captain not only helping his massively inexperienced teammates to stay in shape and to keep their heads, but literally also scoring goals to win games, in the example of the final, he did it twice, and just taking the game and saying, we are not going to lose on my watch, and I am very proud of him being our captain. I'm very proud of him being the captain of the Netherlands team. He is maybe, and I think it's not unfair to say that he might be one of the greatest defenders ever. And I would say, in my time watching Liverpool, he is the greatest defender that I've seen play for us. There I go. I said it.
Look, fortunately for this football club, there is a very high bar that has been set.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were concerns. I think probably even within Virgil himself, there were concerns. Was he ever going to get back to that level? And he's referenced it, in interviews. They said it was finished. Yeah. He's remarked. And people have. I know a couple of mates who are Liverpool fans who have said, I think he's done. And I just feel like last season, off the back of the injury, there were lots of issues. He's made some, errors this year that are very unlike him, against Fulham and Arsenal are probably two ones that stick out in my head. But I feel like they're starting to, that aura that he had before the ACL, it's starting to be generated around him again. And I feel that's almost self-driven by Van Dijk. He's walking around there like he owns the place. And I feel from a character like him, that actually makes him better on the pitch when he's in that kind of mental mindset.
Yeah, yeah. And it's what people who dislike him is, you know, that's the part that they dislike, probably, you know, what looks like arrogance, which is just self-esteem. And yeah, I agree. If when he is in that mental state and thinks he can conquer the world, he actually can, because he thinks he can. And, you know, he has all the attributes to back it up. You know, if I would be in his place and think I could do all that, I wouldn't be able. But he because he is a marvelous athlete, and we know all about the horrific injury that kept him from, you know, you could say for a year out of the team, probably he needed a year longer to recover. But yeah, he has referenced the fact that people have written him off, and sometimes people need some, you know, weird reverse psychological motivation to motivate them. So if you think I can't do it, I will prove you I can. And obviously he's that type of man, and I don't care, as long as he does what he does. And you know, I think that's a good motivation. It's a better motivation than money or status or whatever. So yeah, I think he's a very, very good example, and I think it is important to have a captain that exemplifies the values that you want to see in your team. And yeah, without being overly dramatic about this, but yeah, I think he does like you would expect from a Liverpool captain, and that's probably one of the key aspects of why we are still doing what we are doing at top of the league, winning a final, looking bare bones but still doing it, yeah, against the $1 billion blue, etc. Yeah, Virgil is a massive, massive. I'm you know, I'm lost for words. You know, I English is not my first language.
No, I get that. And English is my first language, and sometimes he has me behaving like that as well. Cool. Look, I think as good as he has been, and he's been absolutely immense. And as much of a fan of Joel Matip I am, I think I've seen Konate play this well in the past, but I feel like there's become a real consistency to his play. He looks so much more self-assured. He is an absolute, like, monster. A monster. I can't think of, like, the last defender I saw that had that physicality, strength, pace, ability on the ball. And what we found this season is that we've been able to keep him fit. We've been able to manage his minutes. And a lot of that is down to the fact that, you know, Joel Quanta has come in and looked like a fucking Rolls Royce at a ridiculous age. But again, Konate in the cup final and Konate against Forest on Saturday, that's the level that we hoped, I think, he would get to, and I think he's just arrived at that at the optimum moment.
Yeah, and how old is he now? 25, right? We were talking about how young he was, but he's but yeah, he is arriving at this moment, that you probably expect a footballer to be in his physical prime, I would say. So, yeah, but still, I think we talked about this when we had the Arsenal Cup game, right, away, and Virgil was ill at that moment. So and at that time, Konaté was the what you call it, senior defender, and the one who had to keep all the others you know, in line. And he stepped up, and he really showed responsibility. And you know, maybe I'm just reconstructing what happened, but that's I think that that made that sort of experience, the fact that you are able to step up to an acquired level or required level, I'm sorry, maybe is what makes him more of the player that we were hoping he would become. And yeah, and if he stays fit, it's absolutely, you know, if I don't think there's any club that wouldn't take Virgil and Ibu as their center backs, as their center back pairing. And we are lucky to have them both. And yeah, Kwanzaa stepped in right into the big Matip shaped hole. And also Joe Gomez, I think, is playing a massive, massive role in this season. You know, stepping in everywhere he's, wherever he's needed. And so there are lots of storylines in this epic that we are watching.
Yeah, they're all like, I couldn't agree more. Gomez has been so good this season. And again, he's only 26. He's been in the club for 10 years. And, you know, again, another one you're worried, you know, have the injuries taken their toll, you know, has his ceiling been lowered by the fact that he's been through so much physically? But, you know, this season, you know, left back, right back, centre half, the lineup against Southampton had Gomez, and I was like, I looked at the team sheet, and I was like, are we really going to play a back three? Or maybe he's going to play Bradley in the front three. And then after like 5 minutes, I was like, Joe Gomez is playing six? What? And after like 20 minutes, I thought to myself, okay, what we've learned here is that Joe Gomez can't play six the way Adam Lallana couldn't play six. But, you know, he figured it out, and he was better second half. I thought he was decent, like a lot better on Saturday as well. And again, I think a player that I would say not many fans would have thought we would have got a lot out of this year. But my God, given Trent being out, given Robbo being out, given Tsimikas being out, given our midfield issues at the minute, given Matip's injury, Konaté's lack of fitness, like where we would be without Joe Gomez, I have no idea. But I can certainly tell you, we would not be sitting top of the league. All I need is for people to stop shouting shoot when he gets the ball.
Yeah, that's starting to get annoying. Yeah, and he will score. Yeah, and I'm still trying to. It'll either be a worldie with a massive importance, or, you know, a very ugly, unimportant goal. But he will score this season. I'm you know, 100% certain about that. But yeah, now I think what it shows, you know, this type of flexibility, as you said, you know, playing right back, playing left back, playing center back, playing in midfield, shows that he is a very intelligent player, because being able to adapt to all of these different roles and not getting found out and not getting you know, so confused about what you need to do in this specific role that you're, you know, no use to the team. He's not equally good, or it doesn't play equally well in all of those roles, of course. But still, he never failed in any of those roles as well. And I may be saying some really weird shit now, but I may sometimes even prefer him at left back now to the other two. One, you know, even Robbo sometimes, because he plays it much more patiently, and he's not the you know, the left wing back that Robbo sometimes plays. And I actually liked him there. You know, I hope Robbo stays fit, and let him please play left back. But I don't think it's much of a downgrade when Gomez plays there. And that tells
you totally not
everything you need to know, I think.
Yeah, and listen, just a bit more on Gomez. There's a lot of chat going around about the, you know, who Southgate will pick for the squad, the England squad for the Euros. And I've heard a lot of names mentioned, you know, like they're talking about Harry Maguire, obviously, right? Madness. Like who will play left back? Luke Shaw looks as though he's gonna miss it. Chilwell, not sure. You know, people are being mentioned like James Maddison. Do you bring Rashford? Do you don't? And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, if you're going to an international tournament and you can only pick a 23-man squad, for me, one of the first things you would be looking at is versatility, form. Versatility, and the second one would be form. Maybe the other way around. And what level you're playing at. For me, Joe Gomez, given he can play right across the back four, and now we've seen potentially in a six, surely he has got to be in Southgate's thoughts for making the play into the Euros.
Yeah, I I'm not an England fan, so you know that's the first thing.
Me neither. I'm just talking logically speaking, right?
Yeah, but
like,
yeah,
I don't want him to go, but.
That's exactly the first thing I wanted to say. I, you know, let him stay at home and enjoy a nice vacation. You know, okay. But yes, if there's logic involved, and I'm not sure that's always the case, then yeah, you would have Joe Gomez. You know, even thinking about the fact that he's 26, so, and he has a future. He could have a future at that England team. You would, you know, on the back of what we are seeing right now, you would be an idiot not to take it. So this is someone who has played lots of games, as you were saying, at right back, at center back, at left back, and even in midfield for the league leaders and the League Cup winners from this season. I should think he's in contention, right? But yeah, for me, he doesn't need to go because I want him fit for next season when Xabi takes over.
Yeah, that would probably be useful. They didn't go, and I can't imagine he will, because you know Southgate will probably still bring Raheem Sterling and Calvin Phillips, which is fine by me.
Raheem, yeah. Not, but Calvin, yeah, sure, and Maguire, of course.
Oh, of course. Look, Beryl, I think there's one player that maybe went from being underappreciated to being overappreciated, borderline, after Saturday's exploits. And I think if you talk about players who signed over the last few years and talk about, you know, like who have we signed under Klopp's tenure, you know, a Van Dijk game changer, you know, Robertson, you know, look at the Wijnaldum impact, you know, Salah, Mane, whatever. We might just be seeing Alexis McAllister forging his way into that group of, how did we manage to pull that off? And oh my God, we thought he was good, but like I did not realize that he was that good. I think I said in our little group chat during the Southampton game, I think when it went 2-0, maybe, or maybe even just 1-0 with however many minutes ago, just I expected to see McAllister be the next sub, just to come in, control the game, keep the ball, be really sensible, be really press resistant, which they were really good at. And again, he comes in on Saturday and, you know, he's brilliant again. He can play six. He can play eight. He can play somewhere in between, which I think is probably where he indeed would like to play. And his vision, his touch, his ability just to create space. We can talk about his little chip to the back post to Darwin, and that's, it was amazing, and that's fine. But it's just that ability for him to... I watch him evade someone pressing with just a couple of deft touches, and they're past him, and he takes his time, and he looks up. And, you know, he literally is, you know, he's a Rolls Royce in that regard. I think about players that play that way. You know, I'm thinking like Xavi. I'm thinking, you know, Riquelme. I'm thinking, you know, players that just, they don't have any like kind of specific physical attribute, which we know has now become a really serious part of the game again. You know, you look at Pep's Barcelona side, even his early City sides, compared to the grocks he's throwing out now. And this guy, he's not quick, he's not big, he's not physical, he's not powerful, he's not explosive. But my God, what a footballing brain, and what a technician he is.
Yeah. And so, yeah, if you're not quick and you're not big and you're not, you know, I don't know if he's strong, but, you know, he's probably not overly strong, then you need to be very smart. And yeah, he obviously is. It's when he's in the team, and I was, of course, being frustrated by the fact that we still hadn't scored against Nottingham Forest, and is this the game in which we lose the league? It was all of these thoughts were crossing my mind. But at the same time, I was enjoying how he was bringing a calmness to the game. You know, all of the dominance that we were being able to assert on the game went through him. And you know, the times that we weren't as dominant was because he wasn't getting on the ball, because they were pressing him really. But yeah, I love him as a player. You know, I miss having Thiago, but Thiago, you know, never really played for us because, you know, it was the COVID season and then the shit season. So we never had the real chance to enjoy Thiago because, you know, he's eternally injured also. But I was watching McAllister, and I thought, yeah, this is his, you know, his replacement, and he's probably better because, you know, first of all, he's if he's crocked by some cunt from Sheffield United, then he's available, because, you know, all of the injuries that he has had this season were impact injuries, because he gets kicked a lot, but he has all of this vision and all of this passing, you know, and this calmness. You know, the assist is all down to calmness, I would say, because in that moment where you know, I'm screaming because, you know, urgency, we need to score, this is the last chance, he takes control of the ball, turns his back on the player so he can shield the ball, and then has this very nice little deft, and you know, most of the time in those situations you see people over kicking it because you know, all this urgency goes right to their legs, I think, and then they over kick it, and then it goes and over the line, and you know, the outline, and then they it's over. But this was a really good assist, and it was really well finished. But yeah, I think if we have McAllister, and I think ideally Endo beside him, then we have lots of control. And then, you know, one of Curtis or Szoboszlai, you have you not only have a Rolls Royce of a player there, but you know, you have a Rolls Royce of a midfield. And I hope to see that in the next couple of weeks, and maybe even Sunday, I would say.
Yeah, like it's really nice to have Szoboszlai back. You know, I think it's going to take him a few weeks to get back up to speed again. But
yeah,
you know, again, Endo comes on. He does come on Saturday, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think
he does. He of course, he does on. A bit. Yeah. Like, yeah,
for Robbo, yeah.
And yeah, Gomez goes to left back, and again, you know, it's maybe lost on some people how he nicks the ball when they're trying to break before McAllister gets it and does that lovely turn you very eloquently described. And again, cup final, he's everywhere. The block, unreal, and you know. It's so FSG. We're talking about Caicedo, 110 million, or Romeo Lavia, and we're all going, oh, look, here's some like really good like clips from a player who's been playing in a relegated side. Everybody's laughing at that, and then thinking, oh, here, actually, by the way, do you remember we signed some really, when we went through this phase of signing like players from every side to get relegated for like 2 or 3 years, but Ings and Shaqiri and Robertson. Robbo. Yeah, totally.
And not and Maguire looks, from that same team.
And it looks panic. The end of one, it looks panic. But my God, like, I think he's probably the one player in the side that he can't directly replace after Trent. There's no one that has that specific skill set. And he's so progressive with that. I think it's underestimated how progressive he is with the ball. You know, you can talk about the side-to-side passes, but when he has an opportunity to play it between the lines, he takes it and he goes.
And even dribbles.
100%. And I've been really surprised how often he finds himself like 10 yards from the edge of the 18-yard box. He's not just that guy that slots in between the centre halves and keeps it ticking over. He's so dynamic in there. And, you know, he has slowly, kind of understatedly, become one of our most important players this season, given what he brings to that midfield that nobody else can.
Yeah, and that was because McAllister got crocked by this Sheffield United cunt. We needed to, because he was, again, one of those players that came in and then didn't come in. And the first glimpses that we saw of him, he looked a bit too slow. But that was all because he needed time, obviously, I would say, apparently. And again, a player who doesn't have any specific physical attributes that you know, would make him maybe even lazy with regard to the intelligence, you know, thinking about games, you know, like McAllister. I am very sure that this is a player who actively thinks about tactics and how, you know, he could best play, and Endo is I think the same type of player, a very intelligent player. The positions he takes up, and also, you know, if he needs to just take a yellow card, he does. He doesn't shy away from a tackle if one's needed. And indeed, not only content with getting the ball and then, you know, giving it to someone who can pass it, but sometimes taking on players and making really good dribbles. And his passes, you know, are always, I think, you know, if he gives an assist, then it's probably the one who misses it, whose fault it is. It doesn't become an assist. And this is probably FSG, and I don't think it was panic, because it looked like it, of course, at that moment. But he was, of course, not the first choice. That, you know, otherwise we would have got him first. But he was one on the list that we probably thought, yeah, if this one's good. But, and I think his age was counting against him. But yeah, never mind that. And I'm not an objective viewer, but for me, he is maybe even the transfer of the season. If you look at the worth he has for his team against how much he has cost.
Yeah, it's, look, again, we're constantly surprised by these things, but we really shouldn't be, given, you know, our track record. Look, I think the one thing that concerns me, Beryl, here, just before we kind of look forward to Slavia Prague? Which one is it? Sparta Prague?
Sparta.
And obviously the biggest game of the season so far, which the Premier League have very, you know, like, honestly, lads, 3:45 Mother's Day, really? Really? Could really be doing without that, boys. But anyhow,
apparently they don't have mothers, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. Look, I think it's been an unbelievable kind of 11 days, 4 games, unbelievable results, you know, winning the trophy, progressing another one, staying top of the league. But I think there's two concerns to be had here. Can we keep winning the way we're winning with these late goals, these last-ditch moments? And yeah, the kids have come in, they've done well, like really well. And we're getting a few players back now, but like, we're still without, you know, Jones, Trent, Salah, Alisson and Jota. Like, that's half a team of first team players. Have you a concern that we can't keep this up in both a quality level and generally a physical level, because we are having to flog the same players over and over and over again at the minute?
Yeah, you know, logic would say yes, but I don't want to put anything past this team anymore. Because as I said, you know, halfway against Luton, I thought, yeah, this is it. This is where we where again, all of these injuries and all of this bad luck is catching up with us. Yeah, we are not going to win this, and this is going to be the end. Yeah, all of these thoughts, and they proved me wrong. And you know, a player like Bobby Clark, and people, I heard some criticism about him against Nottingham Forest, but I thought he was very active, and it wasn't down to him that we weren't winning at that moment that he left, you know, was substituted. I think he really stepped up, and this is again a very young player who is asked to come into this team and in this very high stress environment, and he delivers. And a player like McConnell did very well, I think, against Southampton and against Luton and in the final against Chelsea. And let's not even start about Danz, right? Danzy, like Klopp calls him. Of course you have a tendency to overstate or to be overly romantic about the performances of an academy player, because he's a young lad and he seems a really nice lad, and you know, saying that that he was always a fan and now he's on the pitch and he can't believe it, you know, all good things. But if you just put, you know, objectively look at what he does on the pitch, and yes, he still has some bulking up to do, But I've seen some touches from this kid that I thought, you know, looked very Firmino-esque. And as you were saying before the pod, and I really agree with, is and at the same time, the two goals that he scores against Southampton are, you know, really, you know, striker's goals, I would say. And he had a header against the bar at in the League Cup final. So this looks like a player who is maybe ready to step up. I don't know. Yeah, logic would say that all of these injuries will catch up with us, because you know, it's a vicious cycle of because of these injuries, other players have to play too much, and we have to chase games, and we have to win them in the 96th, 99th minute, if it was even, or even in extra time. So yeah, it's bound to catch up with you. But I wouldn't put anything past this team, and every time we do get it across the line, and all of our many rivals are watching this and had their hopes up that we would finally stumble. We, you know, imagine it from their perspectives, again being disappointed, and by us getting it over the line, and then, you know, making up all sorts of stupid criticisms about referees, etc. So yeah, I think, yeah, it doesn't look feasible or durable that we could keep this up, but I wouldn't put anything past this team anymore.
Yeah, so true. And another one, Harvey Elliott's been a bit of a bit part player impact sub up to this point in this season, and all of a sudden he's played, like, I'd be surprised, aside from the goalkeeper, if anybody's played more minutes than him over the last kind of 12 days, and he has been absolutely superb.
Yeah, hasn't he played every league game? Is that, I thought
I think that was a thing for a while, but I don't think it is anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I really like Harvey, but I don't like him at right wing, and I mean, you know, he gives it at all, but he doesn't have the attributes to pull that off. I would say, but you know, he gives other things, and he always gives his, you know, everything he has. So I will always back him, but I actually didn't think this was his was his best stretch. You know, he's not in his best phase, I would say. So would you disagree?
No, I don't necessarily think it's his best stretch. But again, I think we've judged him this season on being a moments player, and he has been a moments player. But we're seeing him have a proper impact now throughout the course of 90 minutes. And look, I'm still not sure how he fits in, but he's one of those players that just seems to make things happen. And actually, if you look at the underlying numbers, you know, his ability to create chances and play key passes and killer balls is off the scales.
Yeah, against Luton, all of these games are blending in together. So I see him doing stuff, and I forget what game it was again. But yeah, he scored against Luton, and he had an assist against Luton, right? But yeah, what he does is, if he fails, he doesn't stop. He doesn't think. So this is not my day, but he keeps plugging away. He keeps running. He keeps giving his passes, and even if three don't succeed, then the fourth does succeed. So, yeah, I'm really a fan of him, and yeah, I think it is his problem that he doesn't have this place in the team that he can focus on and say this is where I fit in, and this is where I play. because of Salah missing, he plays lots of time at the right wing right now. And I don't think that's his best position. But yeah, I'm very happy that we have him, and he's very much available. So yeah, and he's still very young. He's younger than Bradley.
That's insane. It's 100 games he's played, and look, like I say, I'm not really sure what he is. I'll be interested to see what, you know, whoever the next manager may be comes in and looks at him and decides, right, how am I going to get the best out of him? How am I going to, you know, make sure that he is a part of this side going forward and utilize his best attributes? And it's very much from the right-hand side, whether it be in a, like, not quite a Salah sort of role, right forward, or, you know, very much not a Szoboszlai sort of replacement on the right of midfield. But there is absolutely no doubt the kid is a game changer, and he can be a match winner, and he's proved that this season, and we shouldn't underestimate his ability. And like, honestly, Beryl, the League Cup final, I thought it was his best game in a Liverpool shirt. He was absolutely unreal, I thought.
Yeah, no, and you're, as I said, you know, all these games are blending in together. But yeah, you are right. And in that game, he him being 19 didn't show on the pitch, because, you know, some players that came in and were talked about as you know, youngsters were older than him. He looked like, you know, one of the players that took responsibility for being one of the senior players. And he is, I think his you know, he has technical ability. His passing is very well. He sometimes scores because he can shoot. But I think his most important attribute is his resilience, his tenacity. You know, he keeps going. And when he was taken off against Nottingham Forest, he was so fucking angry.
I think he was furious at himself more so than the fact that he'd been subbed.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but it felt a little bit like a coming of age moment for him over kind of the last week. He was stepping in there, and he was being, you know, essentially, in terms of experience and games, you know, the elder statesman there, and he thrived on that, and it shows his character. And, you know, we shouldn't be surprised. This is one thing that the recruitment department look at, and it looks like he has that in spades.
Yeah, I think he and one of those intangibles. Yeah, and again, you know, that's just a word, but. Is the fact that he really wants to be at this place. He grew up as a Liverpool supporter, and he wants to be successful for this team, for this club, and it shows. It's not just, you know, words, but he's really trying his very, very best, and I think that again that's his most important attribute. And he's 19 and having a massive impact already. I'm not concerned about him being having the talent to play for us. But in the specific system that we are playing right now, there is no natural spot for him. And I hope that doesn't frustrate him too much. But yeah, next season will be different in multiple ways.
What I really liked was that I saw he walked down the tunnel with a Riggy's shirt on. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh my God, he was like 15 when a Riggy scored that goal in the European Cup final. So, you know, I don't even think he'd signed for Liverpool then. So I just thought it was a really nice touch, and an insight into the fact that this kid, I know he's from London and he says he's a Liverpool fan, but actually is a Liverpool fan and just gets it. And that means loads. That means absolutely loads. Right, Beryl, just to like, let's finish it off here. We've spotted Prague during the week. Fine. Don't expect loads to go out there. I would assume, but this is a trophy. You've got to think that, you know, just go out there, put up a decent display, get them back to Anfield and concentrate in cities during the week.
Yeah, and you know, with the experiences that we had last, you know, in the last couple of games, I would say we are not the team that played these away games in the first, what's it called, the league round or whatever, you know, in which we could
the preliminary round.
Yeah, that's, you know, and we could lose there without, you know, doing us ourselves too much harm against, the French team and the Belgian team or whatever. I don't even care anymore. But the only thing you need to do is stay focused, stay concentrated, and as you say, get it back to Anfield, and we know what we'll we can do there. Sparta Prague, apparently, I haven't seen them play this season, but allegedly they are having a really good season. Oh no, I that's not true. I saw them against Galatasaray when they but Galatasaray had a player sent off fairly early, and then Prague managed to win against them. And so they obviously, if you come to this this round, you have some qualities, but we are Liverpool and they are Sparta Prague, and you know, that's it. So keep focused, don't get injured is all I would say.
Yeah, I think that's it. And look, City on Sunday it's the biggest game of the season so far, and depending on what the result is, you know, City Arsenal might be the biggest game of the season so far. After that, that's where we are right now. But look, I think there's a couple of things here. We'll probably still be without, we'll definitely still be without, you know, Jones, Trent, certainly Jota, certainly Alisson, Salah, we're not sure, Gravenberch, we're not really sure, but, you know, they're coming full strength, they don't have many issues. But it's one win since 2003 at Anfield. And even last season, you know, they can't beat us at home. The only one they've had is when there were no fans there. And, you know, this is really where we have to consolidate all of the work that we have put in this league campaign so far. This is a cup final. And we have to go out there and we have to approach it like that. It's a concern for me that fucking De Bruyne is back. He's played 10 games. He started 5. He's 2 goals and 10 assists. And like, that's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And we're going to need to be at our best, even at home. Because I feel like a win is the only option here for me.
Yeah, because, you know, if Arsenal weren't on both of our coattails, then you could argue that you shouldn't lose, but a draw would even be a bad result. But yeah, now,
yeah, do you know what, Beryl, just to cut across here, right? You say a draw wouldn't be a bad result, but the two times we've lost to them by a point, it's been a draw at home. And the time we win the league, it's a win. And for me, that's where we have to go down here and stamp our mark down. We can put ourselves in a position where it's 4 points, it's two results from them, rather than, you know, essentially a draw, and we're playing catch up. So that's the way I'm looking at it, historically speaking.
And you know, seeing that we didn't win at home against Arsenal, and we didn't win, you know, and there are no top four or even top six rivals, I would say, against Man United. We probably have to win this one, because, you know, if only for the psychological harm that it will do them. And we know that we are living rent free in Pep's mind. And the one time they won against us was, you know, the season that doesn't count. So I think De Bruyne being back is not a good thing, but at the same time, you know, I think he is not at his best. He was at his best two seasons ago, probably, and they didn't win against us then. You know, when the fans were there, he gets frustrated by, you know, and not winning, and all we need is all of the mental attributes that were on display against Chelsea and against Luton and against Forest. So they are there, and it, you know, preferably we would have Salah there to have the cutting edge that we would need. I'm very happy that Darwin is back, because, you know, Gakpo has looked really blunt up top. But yeah, he could play a role as well. And if we have all those things, they haven't found a way. Probably they haven't thought about. They have thought about it, of course, but they haven't played against Conor Bradley, so we will be a different beast in that sense. This is the moment that things need to be done, and if we want to be champions, and if we want to give Klopp the send off that he deserves, then yeah, this is probably when we need to deserve it. And I'm already very nervous. But yeah, we have form against them, and this is the moment that we need to show it.
Yeah, okay, right. So just before we finish up, Beryl, I'm going to ask you one question. Jones, Trent, Mo, Ali, and Jota. If you have two back for City, which two would they be?
Yeah, Salah, most definitely. And I have to say, you know, Keller has done an admirable job. I would say Salah and Jota.
Oh, okay.
You want Curtis, right? I know.
Honestly, no. I would probably go Salah and Trent.
Trent, yeah.
I'd probably go Salah, but yeah, I looked at it and I couldn't make my mind up, which was why I thought I'd put you on the spot. Yeah. Well, listen, Beryl, thanks for joining me. Who knows? We'll try and get something out before City. But yeah, until then, up the fucking 99th minute Reds.